old now after all that. Wow. It's Kazadel Baptist Temple. It is a weird spelling, a little town that our church was started in. But it's being called worse. Some people have called it Godzilla Baptist, so I'm thankful. He did good saying that was much better than that. So if I have a hard time breathing tonight, Mr. Edwards fed me today. And boy, did he feed me. Wow. Had a great lunch and good fellowship with him. I appreciate him very, very much. I mean this with all my heart, that I really don't think I would have made it through college if it wasn't for Mr. Edwards. He was not just my bus captain. He really helped me, gave me counsel, listened to me, strengthened me, and I really appreciate him, his family, and they have meant very much to me and still do. And I guess I just say that to encourage other families, you know, look for somebody, take him under your wing if you can, and it really helps. And I appreciate him. It's good to see him. And like Pastor Hoagland said, it's been a long time. I graduated in 1997. I look around and I see a lot of familiar faces, see a lot of new faces, and that's exciting to see church growing and new people. And those many who have been here since I graduated in 97, and you haven't aged at all. That's amazing. My wife and I were talking about it. You all look the same. So that's kind of amazing there. But that was a long time ago. I started thinking about that. I just turned 40. And I thought, wow, starting to get old. And I look around, and I remember when I was in college, and somebody would come in, and they would speak. They'd say, they graduated 1986 or 87. I thought, wow, they're old. And now you graduated. You came to school 20 years ago. Wow, I'm old. And then I look at those who have been here since I was here, and I thought, they're really old, right? And they're probably looking at me and saying, enjoy your youth, right? And I'm looking at the college-age boys and telling you, enjoy your youth. And the college-age boys are saying, I just want a wife. I understand how we're all thinking here tonight, all right? First Timothy chapter 1, it is a privilege to be here. I truly mean that. Lord willing, be speaking in the morning at chapel service. Looking forward to that as well. Like I said, the last week of July, I turned 40 years old. And the very next week, we had a preaching conference at our church, had some speakers in. And on Monday, I was fine. Tuesday, I was fine. And then Wednesday, I woke up and was sick. Felt terrible, had a high fever, didn't know what was wrong with me, and went to the bathroom, and I started coughing, and I started coughing up blood, and I thought, I'm dying. I didn't know what was going on. Went to the doctor. I had some weird form of pneumonia that just hits you out of nowhere, and I literally was on my back for about a week and a half, very sick. Got better because the week and a half I was behind schedule. We had school getting ready to start in the middle of remodeling. Hit that hard about halfway through our remodeling. I felt something in my back just go terribly wrong. Couldn't stop. Had to man up, keep going. Worked another week in terrible pain. On a Friday morning, the last Friday in August, I woke up and I could not move. And I mean that. If the house was burning down around me, I would have died. I couldn't move. And they actually had to call an ambulance to get me out of my house. Long story short, 2 herniated discs. And I went to the doctor, and he looked at me, and he said, you're just falling apart. I said, doctor, I turned 40 the last week of July, and I spent 3 out of the last 4 weeks on my back. He said, it doesn't get any better. it's been rough, man. But I've had a good few months, and I never was sick before that. So hopefully we got out of our system. We're going on. But one good thing about being down and not feeling well is I spent a lot of extra time just studying the Bible. I truly was laying on my back, especially when my back was bad, and it's either that or watch the ceiling fan go around. And I spent a lot of time extra in studying the Word of God. You know, and I'm through all that. I don't want to go through it again, but through all that, I'm very thankful for that time. And I'll be real honest, God knew that I needed that time. I needed to spend some extra time with Him. I needed, you know, you can get very busy in the ministry, and you don't realize how maybe you're neglecting your spiritual self sometimes. And I spent a lot of extra time just studying the Word of God. And the Lord really encouraged me. And one passage that I spent a lot of time studying was I read through over and over again the pastoral epistles. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll start reading with me in verse number 1, please. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this privilege and opportunity to preach your word this evening. Father, I do ask you, Lord, just to please take my mouth, my thoughts. Lord, may I be used of you. I surrender myself to you. Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to remove me and lift up your word tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. And Lord, speak to my heart, speak to each one of our hearts from this passage of Scripture and this thought that you've laid on my heart. And Father, may we all leave this place, Lord, closer to you, more in love with you, and more thankful than when we walked in. And if there be anyone here tonight that's not saved, I pray tonight would be the time that they would put their faith in you. And Lord, I love you, and I thank you again for this opportunity, and bless it in only ways you can. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Here in this first passage, the first chapter in Timothy, I was reading over and over and over again, and the Lord brought out the same word to me in this first chapter a few times. You'll see it here in verse number 2. It says, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. That word mercy there, you'll see it again in verse number 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. In verse number 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. This word mercy kept jumping out of me. Every one of us ought to be very thankful for the mercy of God. You and I understand this. We don't deserve anything good. You and I, you say, well, I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says otherwise. There is none good, no, not one. You and I are not good. You and I, last time I checked, we are just dirt that God has given us life. And we ought to be very thankful for every good thing. And every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And we ought to be thankful for God's mercy. If it weren't for God's mercy, we would have nothing good in our life. You say, well, I'm not even saved. I'm just here tonight. And so this doesn't apply to me. Understand this? Even as a lost person, you are enjoying the mercy of God every day. Every one of us are enjoying the mercy of God. Every one of us sitting in this room are sinners. Every one of us, because of our sin, we deserve hell. Every one of us, we deserve, as Brother Olson preached this morning, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I don't know about you, but I've deserved many whoopings in my life from God. We've all strayed at times. None of us deserve to have the fellowship with God and to be able to commune with God or to be able to go to the throne of grace and find help and mercy in our time of need. We don't deserve that, but praise God, He is merciful. He's very merciful to you and I. Now, why would He show us such mercy? Understand what mercy is. Mercy is getting things that you and I don't deserve. There's grace and there's mercy. Now, we don't get the things we do deserve, and we ought to be very thankful for that. But why would God, in this passage we see it, why would God show us such mercy? I want you to see a few things. We'll use our Bible a little bit and try to express this thought tonight. Number one, in verse number two, it says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." You know why God shows us mercy tonight? Number one, I believe He shows us mercy because that's who He is. That is the person of God. He is mercy. He is goodness. Look over, keep something there. We'll come back to Timothy. Go back to Psalm in chapter number 33 with me real quick. Psalm chapter number 33. He is mercy. You and I are very blessed when it comes to the goodness of God. God has been good to every one of us. And every one of us ought to be able to amen that. God has been good to every one of us. You look around and see your health. You look around, maybe your family is sitting with you. You look around and you see this church that you are sitting in. Most will go to a job tomorrow. Most will have the health to be able to get up and go out. Most will pick out what clothes they want to wear. We could go on and on. Probably most will get in a car and drive home. God has been good to every one of us. His goodness is wonderful. In Psalm 33 and verse number 5 says this, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Did you know when you look around at this world, you see the goodness of the Lord? Everywhere you look. I encourage our church and I encourage you tonight to every day find something to praise God for. I think that's one of the great things that's lacking in our churches today. You say, well, that's something simple. I know, but it's powerful. When you stop and look every day, and not just, you know, just look around and say, whatever, but I mean, find something, and what we do, I do it, my wife does it, our church, my children, I encourage them to all do this. Find something and write it down and be thankful and stop and praise Him for that every day. You know what it'll do? It'll keep the joy in your life. You'll face persecutions, and we all do. We face trials. But when you realize just how much the Lord loves you, you'll be able to get through those things. Daniel, the Bible says, had an excellent spirit about him. And three times a day, he stopped to praise the Lord. In Psalm 119, it says, "Princes have persecuted me." I mean, the writer of Psalm 119 was going through a terrible time, but he said, seven times a day do I praise His name. And nothing offended him. You know what? We need that kind of joy in our life. If you're overwhelmed tonight, start praising the Lord. Because then what happens when the trials come? You take out that list where you've been praising the Lord every day, and I promise it will encourage your heart. You'll see just how much God loves you. You know, that's something we need to remind ourselves of every day. God loves me. That may not sound like a big deal, but I promise you that is the secret of success in a Christian life. Because a lot of Christians live their life, and a lot of people do things through mechanics, and they just go through motions. They don't spend time with God, they don't talk to God, and they don't recognize. The book of Jude says this, keeping yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. It doesn't mean that, you know, you got to keep your salvation. Brother Olson preached perfectly on that this morning. You can't lose your salvation. What's it mean to keep yourselves in the love of God? We ought to look daily to see the love of God in our life. And when we realize and we see how much God loves us, you know what it does? It makes us love Him. The Bible says that, does it not? We love Him because He first loved us. And when we see how good He is, and I'm not talking about, you know, some spiritual people are like, justification, sanctification. I've done those things too, but I'm talking about this. The leaves are pretty. They're pretty. You seen them starting to change colors? You're not as good as we are down in southern Ohio. They're really pretty down there, all right? They're real nice. You say, well, you know, what's the big deal? You look at these things and you realize, did you know God could have made everything in black and white? He could have created this world gray. He could have. You're all looking at me weird, but he could have. Why did he make everything with such color? I'll tell you why. For us. Because he loves us. When you stop and realize how much he loves you, it will change everything about your life. It will make you love him more. And in turn, if you love the Lord, 1 John says, you will love your brethren. You say, well, this love thing is not that serious. Well, I'm not preaching on that tonight. But 1 Corinthians 13 says you can do everything good in the world, but if you don't do it with charity and love, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We need that in our life. All of it, what I'm saying is look around for the goodness of God. God has been good to every one of us, and we ought to praise him. The more I sat there and thought about the goodness of the Lord, and the more I thought about, because understand, all this goodness he shows to us is only because of his mercy. And the more I thought about that, the more excited I got. My grandpa used to tell me, he's pushing 90, and he used to tell me a story how that he grew up down in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. And when I mean nowhere, it's still nowhere. I took my family there not long ago, and we went an hour and a half drive without any sort of signal at the outside world. It was awesome, but we enjoyed it, all right? And we just drove. There's nothing but a creek and a house every mile or so, and then and swinging bridges. And if you don't know what a swinging bridge is, you're missing out on life, all right? And we saw those everywhere. And we went back in the middle of nowhere, and when he grew up, there was this one little general store that they had to walk about 4 miles to. That was the only place they would go to get anything. And he, as a child, went there one time, and he sat there, and one of his friends had a penny. And his friend went in a general store and got a lollipop. And my grandpa never had a lollipop. My grandpa watched his friend eat that lollipop, and he just continually went, and just kept on licking that thing, put it in his mouth. My grandpa just sat there with his eyes open, staring at him. He said, "How is it?" His friend said, "It just keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder." And my grandpa wanted one bad, all right? You know, when you stop and think about the mercy of God, then you really see how good God is to us. And you will meditate on that. You'll realize it does keep getting gooder and gooder and gooder. God has been good to us. And we ought to be thankful for that. You say, well, Brother Burke, you don't understand. I have had a terrible week. But you know what? I don't know who had the worst week in this auditorium tonight. But if you stood up and you truly were the person who had the worst week in this entire auditorium, I promise we could go out there somewhere and find five people that had it worse off than you did. Probably 500, probably 5,000, probably 500,000 who had it worse than you did. God's been very good to us. Psalm 119, look at this verse real quick. Psalm 119 and in verse 68. Psalm 119, verse number 68. Psalm 119:68 says this, talking about the goodness of God. Psalm 119:68, thou art good and doest good. Did you know God doesn't only do good things? He is good. He is what good is. You say, well, if some bad things, God has allowed it to happen in my life. Yet in the New Testament, we read that if those who love God, all things work together for good, if we'll let God do that. God's mercy is something we ought to rejoice in. His goodness that he gives to us, we ought to be very thankful for it. Now, that is his person. Now, bear with me for a second. Did you know that's what God wants you to know? It is clear in the scriptures. That all throughout this book that we have in our hand, we see the mercy of God. God wants this message preached of his mercy. I am thankful tonight for preaching of judgment. I am thankful because it is true. The wages of sin is death. The way of the transgressor is hard. If you're here tonight and you die lost in your sins, there is a hell. There is a lake of fire. But praise God, there is a way tonight to be saved. If you're saved tonight and you're drifting out in sin, I'm here to tell you the word of God is true. The way of the transgressor is hard. But I'm thankful that in both those, while I'm thankful for that and those preaching, I still say this, we do an injustice to God to preach that without also preaching the mercy of God, for that is a message all throughout this book. That is the difference between our God and every false god that's out there. You can start with the Egyptians, work your way over to the Aztecs, and everybody in between there and after, they all, their pagan gods, they feared those gods. That was the message of those gods. Cross me, you will die. Cross me, and you'll have no crops. Cross me, and you will have diseases. And they feared their gods. I'm thankful that our God's message is that He is a God of justice. He is a God of holiness, but He is a God of mercy. And we ought to be thankful for that. Look over in Exodus chapter 34 and see the mercy of God. Exodus chapter number 34. And the reason why this is important, because the mercy of God draws men. Exodus chapter 34. In this passage of Scripture, Israel had escaped Egypt. God had brought them out and delivered them. They go down to Sinai. Moses goes up on top of the mountain. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. In the meanwhile, Israel's gathered and said, well, Moses is gone. Obviously, he's dead. What should we do, Aaron? Aaron says, let me gather, you know, all the gold. And they make the golden calf. Don't you love that? I love that passage of Scripture when Moses comes down. How did this happen? Don't you love Aaron? I threw all the gold in a pot and it hopped out. All right? He said, well, that's stupid. You know what? Here's a real important point. Sin will make you stupid. When we get ourselves into sin, we quit thinking right. That's what sin does. And of course, he ground up the golden calf, puts it in the water, they drink the water. We all understand all that happened. And it is after this event, we read in Exodus chapter 34, and in verse number 6 in Exodus chapter 34, look at it there. It says, and the Lord passed by before him. Moses goes back up on the mountain. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Did you know, after all of this, isn't it a good thing we're not God? Can you imagine if that would have been me or some of you? And Israel would have just done that after all that God did for Israel. We'd have said, that's it. Wipe them out. Lightning, whatever we want to do. You know, their history, right? Wipe them off the face of the earth. We'll have a different plan. But God is not that way. When Moses went and stood before God, he says seven different ways that he expresses his mercy. He says, they're the Lord God, merciful. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is abundant in goodness. He is abundant in truth. He keeps mercy for thousands. He forgives iniquity and transgressions and sin. I'm thankful for that tonight. And absolutely, the next statement where it says there, and will by no means clear the guilty. He is a just God. But the ratio that he shows us here to Moses, even after their great sin, is 7-1. Look at the mercy that I'm showing to the people. And we ought to be thankful for that mercy. We ought to be very thankful. Go back a page in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 18. Exodus 33 and verse number 18. This is when Moses, when he was speaking to God, he wanted to see the glory of God. And in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses said, show me your glory, God. You know how God showed him his glory? By telling him about his mercy and his grace. One of the greatest reasons we have to glory God tonight is because of his mercy and his grace. You say, well, I have a hard time getting excited about that. Well, you should go ahead and start getting excited about it, because when we get to heaven, you'll be rejoicing in eternity for his mercy. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 3, when we get a vision there of the throne of God, above the throne is a rainbow, a sign of the mercy of God. That, by the way, is what that sign is for. Amen. But it's clear in Scripture. The Scripture preaches this message over and over again, the mercy of God. Now, some of you might be getting a little upset at me saying, are you soft? No, hang with me a second, all right? But I'm telling you, we do an injustice when we don't preach the mercy of God. It is clear in Scripture. Secondly, listen, it is the chosen path of our God. Look over with me in Micah chapter number 7. Micah chapter 7. It's right after Jonah. I'm thankful tonight that God is inclined to mercy. I'm thankful tonight that He is more inclined to mercy than wrath. Look in Micah chapter 7 and in verse number 18. By the way, I mentioned Jonah. Jonah understood that, didn't he? Jonah, remember after he takes his trip in the well, then he goes in and he preaches to Nineveh. Then he goes and he sits up there looking over Nineveh. God spares Nineveh. Do you remember Jonah, what he said? I knew you would do this, God. Remember, Jonah? I knew you would do this. You are full of goodness and kindness. It's funny, he was awful thankful for the mercy of God two chapters before that. And sometimes we do the same thing. We'll amen the fact that we're saved by the mercy of God. But then when we look at other people, we don't want to show that same type of mercy. Be careful. Be careful there. Here in Micah chapter number 7, look in verse number 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Look at the last part of this verse. Because he delighteth in mercy. Aren't you thankful tonight that God delights in showing mercy? You should be. You should be thankful that God delights in showing mercy. I challenge you this. You find me a verse in this book that says that he delights in pouring out his wrath. Find a verse in this book that says he delights in pouring out judgment. Now, will he pour out his wrath? Yes. Is he a God of justice and judgment? Yes, he is. But he delights in showing mercy. God wants to show this mercy. The Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will that people die and go to hell. Amen. It's not his will that they take the way of the transgressor and they live a hard, terrible life. That's not his will. God wants to bless. We live in a country that has enjoyed the blessings of God. This nation has enjoyed the blessings of God. You look at our heritage, you look at our history in this country, and I know not everybody was perfect, but for quite a while, this nation was founded upon some biblical principles. This nation practiced a lot of biblical principles. And even those who weren't saved had a reverence and a fear of doing right and of God. Things have changed. And I don't believe right now that we're enjoying the blessings of God as much as we are enjoying today the mercy of God. We ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful that God, He does not delight in pouring out wrath. Some people have that viewpoint of God. Some people think that God's sitting on the throne waiting for me to fall so He can destroy us. That's what some people are thinking. And it's not right. The other day I was driving the bus for our school, and a big honeybee flew in the window. And we were going to a volleyball game. A bunch of girls were in the bus. They all started screaming like girls. You know, driving the bus. And that thing came up towards me. I told them all. I said, just be still. Leave it alone. Be still. Did you get that? Yeah, that's really good, right? Just leave it alone. And I opened up the window. And a little bee flew out. Didn't bother anybody. Because you know what? That bee's business is not going around stinging people. The bee didn't get up that morning and start flying around saying, who can I sting? Well, all right. Didn't do it. That bee had another business. It was making honey. Something very sweet. That's the way our God, He wants to bless our lives. He wants us to enjoy a sweet life. He wants us to enjoy His blessings and His benefits. And He daily loads us with those benefits. He wants us to enjoy that life. But just like the bee, you take his grace and mercy for granted and you continue in living in sin, you antagonize the bee, there is a price to pay. And you can play games with God to a point where you've played games too long. That's why you and I ought to be thankful for the mercy of God today. It is clear in Scripture. It is his chosen path. Can I just give you one more thing before we go on? It completes all of his other attributes. So what do you mean it completes his other attributes? I could go through many different attributes of God. We won't for time's sake. But just think about his holiness. Our God is a holy God. Amen? About six of you agree with that. That's great, all right? Our God is a holy God. He is a just God. And we can amen that. And none of us are hiding under pews in saying that he is a holy God. You know why? Because his mercy. You remove mercy out of the equation, and his holiness and his justice is something that ought to make us quake in our seats. But we're thankful for his holiness. We rejoice in his justice because of the mercy of God. Our God is an omnipotent God. That means God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for our God. Our God is an almighty God. If it weren't for the mercy of God, that would mean nothing for us. But the mercy of God allows his omnipotence to act on our behalf. Aren't you thankful today? We could go through all kinds of different areas, but the bottom line is this. We ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. If you're lost in here today, you ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. If you're saved, you ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. There's a missionary we supported for many years. He just passed away and went to heaven. He said this one time, and I wrote it down the back of my Bible because I thought it was great. He was speaking about the mercy of God, and he said this. The sweet dewdrops on the thistle and the thorn are the same dewdrops on the rose. I don't care who you are tonight, you are enjoying the mercy of God. We ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. Why? Because that's his person. That's who he is. But go back to 1 Timothy. We'll kind of wrap this up. Second reason, verse number 13 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Number one, he shows us mercy because that's what his person is. Number two, he shows us mercy because he delights in pardoning the sinner. Look at verse number 13. Paul's given a testimony. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I hope that this auditorium is filled with people. You would say, yes, I know what I used to be, but I obtained mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We're saved because of the mercy of God. He delights in pardoning the sinner. That's his desire to pardon the sinner. Romans chapter 2 and in verse number 4, it talks about that the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. That's why even as a lost person or even as someone who's saved tonight and you're sitting here saying, well, you know what? Because I've seen this. Maybe not so much heard people say it because they don't have that kind of audacity. But they'll live this way. I have sin in my life. No one knows about it. I'm doing it. And I'm fine. I heard, you know, Brother Olson say this morning, I've heard it preached many times that God will chasten. I've not been chastened. You know what you're going on? The mercy of God. But you better not play games with the mercy of God. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But if you're lost and you don't come to repentance, the wages of sin is death. Those who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Those who are saved, and you're playing games with the mercy of God, you may have your pastor fooled, you may have everybody sitting around you fooled, but you and God, I think that everyone understands what I'm saying. I am tired of hearing stories of preachers good church members who everybody thought was doing great, but they had sin in their life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's some playing games with God. Some who are going out and saying, well, I'm fine. God's not doing nothing. I could stand up here and tell you stories for the next hour just of what I've seen in my 11 years as pastoring of people who thought they were getting by with it too. But sin will destroy you. And that way of the transgressor is hard. Now, I'm thankful for the mercy of God. If you're lost, I hope you'll get saved tonight. My wife, her uncle, she had an uncle. His name was Mike Kraft. Mike was lost. Mike wanted nothing to do with God, and Mike lived a hard life of drugs. Many times he was witnessed to. He said, no, no. As a young man, just recently, he got cancer. Went and witnessed to him. He said, no. My other pastor at our church, associate pastor, went down and witnessed to him. He said, no. A pastor in the church where he lived down in Kentucky went and visited him. He said, no. My wife stood at his bedside as he's dying and begged him to get saved, and he said, no. He said, made these statements a few days before he died. I'd rather be a sinner than a Christian. I don't need God. Hospice came in, and hospice said he had 3 days max to live. People witnessed to him. He said, no. After 3 days, he lived a fourth day. He lived a fifth day. People witnessed to him. He said, no. He lived a sixth day. He lived a seventh day. People witnessed to him. He said, no. Hospice told the family, I don't know how he's living. He shouldn't be alive. On the eighth day, on the ninth day, people witnessed to him. He said, no. 2 weeks after they gave that diagnosis, he's still lying on his deathbed. And a guy that he did drugs with for many years, who got saved a few months ago, was in a deer stand hunting. And he started praying while he was waiting, and he prayed for Mike, and God laid on his heart, go speak to him. He got out of his deer stand, drove to his house, walked in, pulled up a chair, and said, Mike, you know I did the same things you did, lived the same life you lived. But a few months ago, I called upon the Lord, and he saved my soul. And he gave him the salvation plan, and before he got done giving the salvation plan, Mike started crying and out loud prayed and said, God, I'm a sinner. And he asked Christ to save his soul. And then just hours later, he died. God's mercy. He's not willing that any perish. Even a man who would reject him and blaspheme him. But God showed mercy. We had people all over the country praying for Mike to be saved. I tried to witness to him. My wife witnessed to him. Pastors tried to witness to him. But I'm thankful that some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. If you're playing with the mercy of God, you're playing a game that's dangerous. You ought to get right tonight. If you're lost, be saved. If you're straying in sin, you need to get right tonight. But I'll give you one last reason for the mercy of God. In verse number 16, Paul says this, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know what? When I look at the mercy of God, I know that tonight that's his person. That's who he is. I see that God wants and desires to pardon the sinner. So he shows us his mercy. But I see a third reason he gives us mercy and shows us mercy is to teach us to be patient. I am not saying to compromise. our church practices, does our best to practice holiness and to live according to the Word of God. Church discipline is a doctrine that's taught in the Bible that should be followed, and we do by the grace of God. But the purpose of it all is to see people restored. The purpose of it all, a lot of people got all this wrong. A lot of people say, you know, we had to church discipline someone not long ago. Begged them to get right with the Lord. A couple people went and begged him to get right with the Lord. Shared it with the church who prayed and tried to outreach and that they would get right with the Lord. They would not. Then someone said, well, we're going to have to kick them out. That's not church discipline. Church discipline is turning them over from the protective umbrella of the church. And the Bible teaches us in Corinthians that Satan will be able to try. God will bring these things into their life for the purpose that they would get right with him. That's the purpose. So how should I treat that person? We can't fellowship with them. Not going to hang out like you used to. They lose their benefits of being a church member. But you ought to still love them. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Neither do we. But God sure has shown us mercy. And Paul said, God showed me mercy for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know what Paul is able to say? I did a lot of things in ignorance. I was a blasphemer. I persecuted. We know what Paul did. He imprisoned. He even stood there while Christians were stoned. While they were put to death. But Paul said, he has shown me mercy. And it's a pattern that others who are get saved, that they too should show the same mercy. You don't compromise. You don't accept sin. But you better keep loving people. You better keep seeking. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that God has given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. That we would see them restored. We would see them. That should be our prayer. That should be our goal. The Bible says in Matthew, and those who are under church discipline, you should treat them as a heathen. Did you know this? You had heathens walk in these doors today? You did. What's a heathen? Someone who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Lord. You had heathens walk in those doors and sit down in your pews today. You did. And I watched as you all walked around and shook their hands, told them it was good to have them in church today. Didn't you? Amen? Did you accept their sin? No. Was the truth continually preached? Yes. But you wanted them to know that you loved them, and you hoped that they would listen to the truth today. That's all of our ministry. So I have a hard time doing that. Then you need to go back and look at the mercy God has shown you. Because God sure has shown you and me a lot of mercy. You know, it's easy for us to get up on our pedestal and then start thinking a little too much of ourselves. We're saved. We got everything good going for us, right? Well, don't forget where we came from. And by the way, just for sake of saying, all the things that Paul did, he did it ignorantly. And God showed him mercy. A lot of us like to classify sin, don't we? There's big sins and there's little sins. Did you know God doesn't do that? I mean, if we told a little lie, well, that's just a little lie. I didn't go out and murder someone, right? There's little sins, big sins. God never does that. God classifies sins two ways. You can look at from Old Testament all the way to the New. There is sins done ignorantly and unbelief, and sins done presumptuously. You study this out. I don't have time to preach it. But presumptuous sins are the one that God dealt more seriously with. All the way back from the cities of refuge, all the way to the New Testament, speaking to those in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So that little lie that you purposely told, God took that very seriously. Presumptuous sins. Sins when you go home tonight and you look at something that you shouldn't. That's a presumptuous sin because you know better. Now, there's a lost world living in unbelief, and that's sin too. But I think just in making those statements, God sure does show us mercy, doesn't he? We ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. If you're lost today, God's been good to you for the purpose to draw you to repentance. If you're saved today, you might be enjoying the mercy of God. But God's mercy, there's a limit. And there comes a day when the way of the transgressor has to be paid. God will not be mocked. And no one else may know about it, but you better quit playing games with the mercy of God. And as a believer today, may we share the same mercy that God has shown us to other people as well. Be thankful for the mercy of God. Can we bow our heads tonight, please? And we'll look to the Lord in the invitation tonight. But I want to encourage you tonight to search your heart. We love hearing preaching on salvation. We love hearing preaching on holiness and against sin. And all those things are wonderful, proper, and biblical. But my question tonight is this. Have you thought about the mercy of God? If you're lost, did you know God showed such great mercy that you could be here tonight and hear again how much he loves you? There are counselors down front who would love to take God's word and show you how to be saved tonight. A lot of Christians need to search their heart tonight because there's some sin. We are presumptuously just living in some sin. And God has been merciful. But you better not play games in the mercy of God. And maybe we had a hard heart towards people. We need to ask God to allow us as a pattern to show the same mercy to others that he's shown to us.